Hello, welcome to Larry Reedy's America. This is our whiskey version. This is our second program in the Larry Reedy's America whiskey. And when you go online, Larry Reedy's America comes out on Monday. The Larry Reedy's America W for whiskey comes out every Thursday. And tonight we're going to have whiskey tasting, blind whiskey testing with Greg Dierberg is going to, he's going to be one of our regulars. You might as well say co-host and not guest. And the three that he will be tasting on air will get a feeling for the nose, which is the smell, the palate, which is a taste, and the finish, which is, some people call it the burn. It is basically, you either have a short or a long finish. The long finish is more appealing to most people because you can take a breather before you have your next sip and enjoy the real quality of the bourbon. And so I think without further ado, let's, Greg, it's good to have you on the podcast. And
nice to be here, Larry. And see you again. Always know I'm in good company when I show up and there's a guy wearing an American flag shirt.
Always. Anyway, we're going to start off with number one on the nose, and then we'll do the palate and then the finish. And while Greg's doing that, I have one announcement that I wanted to make. A friend of mine, Alan and his wife, Mary Stenger, and Alan is he's the administrator on the very popular podcast, Cross the Line 1524. They're 3 years out. I think they've got 150-some podcasts. But Alan is also an executive bourbon steward from the Stave and Thief Society. I don't know much about that except to be an executive bourbon steward, it's about a $500 course that you take. And his wife is also a bourbon steward, but I don't know if she's an executive. There's different courses, less money involved. And anyway, that will air on the 30th of March. So this is the 16th, and Greg's will air next Thursday on the 23rd. It won't be on the 30th. I was thinking not March 30th. It'll be on the, I believe it'll be on the 9th of March, if I'm not mistaken, or thereabouts. I'll keep you posted on that. But anyway, Greg, have you finished with number one?
Yes. I nosed it at number six.
Okay.
And I guess for the audience, we're going from one to 10, I guess.
Yes.
So I gave it a number six, but I'm having a hard time smelling tonight. I'm a little congested. And I gave it number six because it was nothing pungent by no means. It was just kind of just average and... But that could be because of my congestion. But anyhow, I gave it number six because it wasn't an off smell or nothing like that. It smelled decent from what I could smell. Then I started drinking it, and it was very good on the palate. I rated that a number eight. And then it had a pretty good finish. I've had better, but I've had a lot worse. And as a matter of fact, the first episode we'd done here,
yes,
there was one that fell right on his butt that you know, kind of shocked everybody. But this one here was a long, semi-long finish, you know. It had a, but it didn't, like, kind of go down into my chest like some of the real good ones do. But it stayed around in my palate for a little while.
Okay.
On the back end, so I gave it a number 7.
Number 7. Okay, great. Okay, Greg will be testing number 2. And when he mentioned our first one, a few weeks ago, we had all three of the guests who are now going to be co-hosts, basically. We did an hour and 45 or an hour and 50 minute test tasting, blind tasting. All three of them, they did a great job, but everybody's palate's different. On the top two or three, they were all close. Nobody picked the same as number one, and there was a couple big surprises that went to number 8 of the 8 tastings. But that's why I didn't give any, have Greg talk about where he was born or anything, because that will be revealed when you listen. You might have to take 2 days to listen to an hour and 45 or 50 minute, but it'll be April the 3rd is when that will be aired. So, well, let's get back. Looks like Greg might be done with number 2. But what do you think about number 2, Greg?
You know, I gave it the same nose just because it was similar in what I could smell with my sniffer tonight. And it just, again, it was same deal. It was not an off smell. It was a decent smell from what I could smell. And it was quite a different taster, though. It was a good taster. I gave it a number 7. And the finish on it, I will say it was a 7 as well. It kind of hung around similar to the first one. But, and you know, I can never tell, like Larry had mentioned one time about how people describe their taste with orange peel and all this stuff.
Orange zest and
leather and tobacco and all this kind of stuff. But, oh, one other thing I forgot to say is I bought a cigar tonight. So, and I'm not generally a cigar smoker, but I think what I'm getting a little whiff of my fingers when I'm trying to drink out of these glasses and nose them and stuff too. So I think I'm getting a little hint of that in there too. So it's probably kind of throwing my nose off. But anyhow, so for some reason, I'm going to guess that number 2's awry, but I don't know. I'm not.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah. I'm not good at that, but I'm just kind of worried because it's a different than the first for sure on the taste.
Okay. Well, okay, let's do number 3. And while you're doing number 3, and we can talk about this, but Batesville Liquor Company has a guest on March the 2nd. Mark Nutch is a former U.S. Army Ranger and Special Forces officer. As a captain and commander of the ODA 595 Special Forces Group, Mark led a team of 12 Green Berets to be the first to land in Afghanistan. And this was in response to the country's on 9/11, our attacks on our country. The unconventional warfare experience earned him the moniker of the Horse Soldiers, which has been brought to life by Hollywood film 12 Strong. And as well as numerous books and documentaries, Mark is a brand ambassador for the international award-winning ultra-premium Horse Soldier Bourbon brand. He and his wife live in Kansas, and Mark's favorite way to drink Horse Soldier Bourbon is neat or on the rocks. Again, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., there'll be Horse Soldier tasting, and Mark will be a very interesting guest, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it if you're in Indianapolis, 70 miles away, or Cincinnati, 50, it would well be worth the trip. He's an honored veteran, and just amazing story. So back to you, Greg, how was number three?
Number three, the best so far, as far as I'm concerned. It nosed on the seven. I scored it a little higher than the other two. I don't know if it's my sinuses opened up a little bit or what, but I got a little bit better nose there. The palate, I'm scoring at a nine because to me, it's very tasty. And the finish lingered around a little bit longer than the other two as well, so I'm going to throw that as an eight.
And the finish?
And eight.
Eight, no, yep, finish. Yep. Well, that was high. Woo, that's good.
And I was going to add to your story about the horse soldiers. The bottle, apparently, from what I understand, I read about that too, and the movie I watched is a very good movie. Apparently, the bottle, it's got a badge on the front made of metal.
Yeah.
And they used a piece from the World Trade Center, from the Twin Towers, of metal that they had over there to mold all the badges for those.
That's models. Amazing. Yeah. That really is. Before we get to the big reveal, and I asked Steve about this last night, you know, I'm not a mixed drinker, martinis or Manhattans or anything. Do you drink?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Well, the only mixed drink I drink is usually a Jack and Coke. And I honestly, Larry, you know, we started feeling pretty good after that first one. You know, we were here for an hour and 40 minutes sipping. So I can't remember everything I talked about. But I will say that what got me on this whole bourbon ride was, you know, back in the day when I'd go out to the bars, I would drink Budweiser. And I always loved Jack and Cokes, but they were so damn expensive, you know, at the bar, you know. So it's like, you know, it's a little rough, you know, drinking mixed drink in the bar because they were so expensive. So I kind of sat out to do whatever you want to call it. I went out to look for a cheaper version of Jack Daniels because at that time, you know, Jack Daniels was probably $18 a bottle. And I'm in a liquor store looking around. I see other bourbons and whiskeys. It's like, they're $9, $10. I see some that are $30, $40. So I said, I'm going to try to find me an alternative to Jack, you know, that's a little cheaper. And what was weird, the very first bottle I bought was in CVS, and it was called Jethro T. Boots.
Yeah.
It was like $8 for a fifth. Yeah. And I mixed it up at the house. I thought, man, that's pretty good, you know. I mixed with Coke, it wasn't bad at all, you know. So then I just kind of bought a few other cheaper ones, and that was one of my favorites. Ezra Brooks was another one. And then I kind of bought a bottle of Evan Williams, bottled and bond, 100 proof.
That might be the best buy in the country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like, wow, man, you know, that was a very, very good price, like you're saying. I mean, obviously it was more than Jethro Boots, but but it still was a very good, what's that run? I can't remember if it was like, maybe $20 or
20 something, 20. Yeah, I think 20s,
maybe.
Bottle and bond or the single barrel might be 23.
Yeah, the single barrel is even better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So then
my mind started kind of wondering, why is there a $50 bottle on the shelf? You know, what's that taste like?
Yeah.
And I certainly wasn't going to mix it because I thought, you know, if I'm going to pay that kind of money, it better taste good on its own. So I started in a rabbit hole, man, and I never came out of it.
Yeah.
I got 200 bottles at the house.
It's kind of like me. I went through the beer stage. Mm-hmm. I was drinking beer when I was a teenager. And evidently I looked older than my age because in Cincinnati and Price Hill, I got served in every bar but two. 6% or whiskey.
Yeah.
You know, what's back then it was either 3.2 or 6% beer. Mm-hmm. And as I got older, I still love that beer, but I really put on the weight.
Oh yeah, drinking for sure.
So I got off of that kick and I went to single malt scotch. And I really like that, but I really like wine too. And then I never cared much for the Chardonnay or the white wine.
Dry or sweet? I'm not a big wine guy, so.
Oh, it hits dry. It has to be a cab. Pinot is a lighter one, but it's good. Or a Zinfandel, not white Zinfandel, that's garbage. But regular red Zinfandel. But then it starts getting too sweet. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, there has to be something better.
Yeah.
So in Florida, where I used to buy the wine, because this guy was great, get fairly inexpensive wine that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And once in a while, I'd splurge and get a good one. Well, right next to his food market and basically his wine store, he had a liquor store.
Okay.
He said, I want you to go over and try single malt scotch. And he said, you'll love it. And I was already drinking, and I think it was Highland something or other. And he said, and while you're at it, I'm going to tell you a bourbon to pick up. And I don't remember what he told me to get.
Yeah.
But, and I tried it in a mixed drink. But
now what kind of mixed drink? Like you talk about old fashions and that kind of stuff?
No.
They are garbage. I don't like them.
I tried it a little bit in a Coke, then I tried a little bit in a 7-Up, and I didn't like either one.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it straight. And the first sip, when you're coating your palate,
mm-hmm.
I thought, man, I don't know if I can do this. The second sip, it really started tasting good.
Oh, yeah.
The third sip. So basically, I still drank some wine, and I was still, like, last night I had a bottle of Modelo and had a whiskey after that. But right now, it's really the whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And bourbons and rye. A little single malt once in a while, but mm-hmm. bourbons and rye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just curious, so when you say you had a bottle, you had the whole bottle or what?
The
wine, I'm saying. like, do you drink
what would happen
on a wine sitting?
My wife and I would split a bottle for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're getting two, not full glasses, but you get a decent wine glass and you fill it halfway and you each have two glasses.
Yep.
And I enjoy it. I think probably in the last year, if I had two glasses of wine, it's a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we talked last night about, I don't get tequila. I've tried it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, it just doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah. I had a real bad experience in service over in Turkey with that stuff. But, I think I talked about that on the last one, but, anyhow, I remember, with Jack Daniels, I had never had drank whiskey straight. It was always mixed with Coke. My dad would drink Budweiser, and then he'd go to Jack and Cokes after the fact, drinking beer all day or whatever. And so I kind of tried the Jack and Cokes, and it's like, yeah, that's good stuff, but, it's just too much money compared to beer, right? Especially as a teenager working at McDonald's. I wasn't doing it then. but no, when I got into service, we were actually headed out to one of the last jobs I did. We were headed out to Boise, Idaho, out to Mountain Home Air Force Base. And we stopped at, I think we were in somewhere in Colorado, Glenwood Springs or something at the hotel. And he was called the team chief. He was in charge of the whole group. There was about 10 of us. And we went out to eat or whatever, sitting in the hotel lobby there at the restaurant at the hotel. And I ordered a Jack and Coke, and he told the waitress, he says, "Oh no, why are you ruining that?" He said, "Just bring that to him straight." Well, Jack Daniels, regular 80 proof Jack, the one you see all over, on its own sucks.
Yeah.
It does. It's horrible. It's harsh. There's nothing good about it tasting, but mixed with Coke, I like it.
But it's number one seller in the country.
Yeah. But the thing is, a single barrel strength Jack Daniels.
Oh, I love it.
Oh my God. I mean, you go from $20 a bottle to 65 or whatever. And even the rye, even the single barrel rye, and it tastes nothing like
it's great.
And people ask me, how in the world can you drink, you know, like the barrel strength Jack I'm talking about? I'm talking, it's like 135 proof. They're all different,
yeah,
depending on the barrel, but they're usually in the 130 proof range. And man, it's smooth. It's got a great taste.
All the, you know, Jack's got a lot of good ones.
For sure.
The tequila, I tried to like it, but I'll drink a margarita if it's 90 degrees out, maybe. Mm-hmm. One, but the
sit there and do that salt and lime and gotta do that stuff to mask the taste.
No salt.
I mean, you see those people doing the shots, and they're like got the salt and the lime and all that crap. It's like, well, if you gotta do all that stuff to make that taste good or kill the taste.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what I could never understand. I love the sipping whiskey, but you know, just to take a shot, you miss all the flavors.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So, but anyway, before we do the big reveal, let's do number four. But you can't talk about it. You just have to write it down, and we'll talk about it off air.
Yeah, buddy. That's all I'm gonna say. We ain't gonna talk about it, but yeah. I wish I could talk about it, Larry.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it off air, but it's and I'll relate everything after tomorrow's. It'll be good.
Yep. Put me on mute real quick, Larry, so I can ask you something. Yeah. I'm kidding. Okay. But we will talk.
Okay, well, let's do the big reveal on number one, which you had 6 on the nose, 8 palate, 7 on the finish. Uncle Nearest, Tennessee Whiskey, 100 proof.
Now, ain't there a couple of versions of that, like 18, whatever?
Yeah, but this isn't
which
that.
Which one is this one?
1865.
That's what this one is?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's, I really like it. And I think that's one of the few distilleries that it's owned by all women.
Oh, okay.
So.
And there's a backstory to that, right? Wasn't Jack Daniels supposedly Uncle Nearest, Jack Daniels got the recipe to make Jack from Uncle Nearest or something?
I don't know. That could be.
Yeah, there's something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing something about that.
Well, you know, maybe when I have Alan Stanger on, since he paid $500 for a course, he can enlighten us.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Number two. Nose 6. Palate 7. Finish 7. How about Old Forester Rye, 100 proof? It's about a $22 bottle, or it used to be anyway. I don't know what it is now. I've never had anything bad from Old Forester.
Yeah,
and
I've never had the rye from Old Forester, you know. But yeah, I thought that was rye.
For the money, it's a killer.
Yeah,
and. Now, number three is going to shock you.
Really?
Yeah, I think it will, because I would have picked this over all of them.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like this. Mm-hmm. This is Clyde Mays Bourbon, 6 years old, 110 proof. I mean, that's what, Alabama?
Is that what that is?
I think so, yeah.
I've always seen that stuff. I've never bought a bottle.
Oh.
Yeah.
The regular Clyde Mays is good, but this I think is sensational.
So this is 6 year, you said?
6 year.
Nice.
And it's they got it at the liquor store. That's what I bought most of.
What kind of price is on that one?
I can't remember.
But it's not terrible, right? It's nothing high.
Nothing crazy. I Uncle Nearest, I think is a. It seems to me that might have been a 50. $50 bottle or something like that. But I like that a lot too. So it's really interesting when you get into the different ones. And I got to tell you off air on this number four, because I really like it. But we'll talk about it. So, are you going to March 2nd? Or are you going to go to Horse Soldier Taste?
Tonight's first I heard about it, so I'm definitely going to try to be there. What night is March 2nd?
I think it's a Thursday.
Thursday, but, probably.
Yeah, I got my phone off because it rings into my hearing aids. March 2nd, let's see. I think it's
they usually have Thursday. Tastings on Thursdays. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that should be interesting. Should be really crowded, too.
Oh, yeah.
But
and I recommend the movie. Like I said, the movie was good.
I'm going to find it.
Especially when you know the backdrop about it.
Find it someplace other than Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. We don't like Netflix politics, right?
So, okay, anyway, I think we're going to wrap this one up, and I hope everybody enjoyed this episode of The Whiskey. And again, if you go to Larry Reedy's America and you see the lineup, on Monday, we released Chris and Laura Alts, and a great couple, very talented. It's really, really worth listening to. You'd be amazed at how talented and what nice people they are. Great couple. So anyway, we're going to wrap things up for now, and we'll play a little of the national anthem. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Hope to talk to you again on our next episode, whether it be the one that's released on Monday or the one on Thursday. And I would appreciate any comments or anything you want to know about whiskey, especially bourbon and rye. And if you want us to test a certain bourbon before you spring and buy one, just give me a call, 812-871-4224, or send me a text. So thanks again. God bless you, and God bless America.